One of several things that I have struggled with, what I believe to be my entire life, has been feeling like people, and I know as silly as this sounds, and as a 55-year-old adult, this sounds really silly, but one of the things that I'm trying not to laugh because it just is so silly. One of the things that is so difficult for me and always has been since I was a kid was having people either make fun of me or make light of my behavior or something about me. And I am really feeling a tremendous amount of joy right now. And I believe that why that is that by taking a closer look at this, I'm actually freeing myself from the burden of taking this so unbelievably seriously. And I guess that's the most important thing I would say. I clearly have more to say regarding how mindfulness and mindful coping practice can help us with the struggles that we have about the way that we react to people either making fun of us or making light of our behavior or something about us, whether it's how we look, how we act, what we do, what choices we make, what we say, whatever it really is. It's all, at least in my mind and in my own experience, which that's all I can really do is share that, is that it's all really the same. And I had a situation happen here very recently that really tested me to my core. And I can say to you that this is something that has happened with me, not only with close friends, but also with family members. And I have always found myself, I'd say almost always, maybe not always, but I would say that I always have reacted very negatively and very harshly to when this happens. And what I would say is that I've had a couple of situations recently. I have business partners that I have known for many, many years. And there was a situation the other day. The story itself doesn't really matter, but they were actually making fun of me. And I remember how it's something that has not happened in a long time. And by no means was it unloving or hurtful in any way. It was all very playful and it was all in good spirit, so to speak. But it was, for whatever reason, I found myself, and I know in my heart, I know that these guys would not ever hurt me. I know that these guys have my back. I know that these guys would take a bullet for me, so to speak. I know that, and I don't question that, but it was just, it caught me off guard, and it was just the way that it happened. And what's most important to me now, and what I really want to speak about, is that as soon as I heard them, and they had been doing it a little bit before I quote-unquote came in the room, and they were very upfront about the fact, you know, they weren't trying to be hurtful at all. They just were, you know, letting me in on the joke, so to speak. And I'm sure that they figured that I would take this all in good humor and roll with it, because there was no malice intended whatsoever. And I found myself, as strange as it sounds to say, I found myself reacting so intensely. My feelings were so hurt. And then that's really the point I guess I want to make here, is that, you know, this has happened with, you know, very close family members. And I realize I am kind of a different dude. I'm kind of a different cat. And I know sometimes my family doesn't really know what to do with me. And I know they don't always get me. I love them all dearly. But I know that to them, sometimes I confound them because I am kind of a different guy. I am a different person. And I've always kind of lived my life a little bit of a different way. And it's great. But on the other hand, though, I realize sometimes, you know, their only way of, and that's, I guess, the important thing I would say here is that I have to remember that different people process things in various ways. I mean, everyone has their ways of coping with the behavior of people that they're close to. And I'm not letting anybody off the hook. I'm not giving anybody a pass, so to speak. But at the same time, I'm also trying to remind myself and with others hearing me that, you know, it's not out of bounds for people to do this in a loving way. I mean, I realize everybody has their right to have their opinion, but I know for me, at least, I want to be able to be mature enough and open-minded enough. And even more importantly than those things, I really want to be able to not take the concept of myself quite so seriously. I don't want to be so bought into the, you know, somehow that however I am is sacred and that it's out of bounds for people to make fun of that. And so really it comes down to, you know, I found myself in a situation where I was incredibly angry and I'm starting to think very, very negative thoughts about these people who I've been, close friends with and have been business partners with and have worked together with these guys for a long time. And I'm beginning to really start taking on the role in my mind of the victim. And it's like, you know, how could they do this to me? How could they make fun of me this way? I thought they loved me. And there's all this unbelievably ridiculous self-talk around my reaction to them, really just in a very good humored way, having some fun with me, so to speak. And so there's really two layers of this, and that's why I want to very slowly kind of break this apart and unpack this a little bit. What I found was when I started mindfulness practice that what I really found to be what I just used to describe as I feel like people are making fun of me. Someone has made fun of me. They're making light of me. They are somehow finding something that I do or say or how I look or whatever it is to be silly and basically making fun of me. Now what I've learned to realize is that that is just really a reaction. Something by witnessing someone making fun of or making light of something about me, and they're doing it generally verbally. They could be imitating me. It could be what a combination of those things. I know now, after years of struggling with this, I mean, this was something that I struggled with as a child. It happened, and I realize it does happen to most kids. I remember this happening as a teenager with some close friends that just really cut me to my core. I mean, it really upset me. And I held it against them. I mean, I closed up my heart, and I could feel myself doing that here very recently. And I will admit, I've done that with family members. I've had family members who maybe they really weren't making fun of me or making light of me, but I reacted so unbelievably harshly because I clearly have something that's unhealed. I want to stop short of calling it trauma because I don't really think that's what it was. I just think that something about people making light of me or making fun of me triggers me in some way. And so that's really what I want to say here is that there are two layers to this. There is the layer of the top layer. You know, what is happening now? Why am I reacting in this moment when someone makes fun of me or makes light of me or imitates me or whatever it is? What is it that happens right now in this moment when it happens? And then there's the what I call the deeper layer of this, and this is really digging into, and it could be past trauma. I'm not saying in my case, I'm just saying with anyone, it could be previous trauma. It could be things that happened to someone earlier in their life, especially during childhood when we don't really have the ability to defend ourselves against such things. There, you know, this could have been a lifelong pattern. This could have been something that happened regularly. And what I found is that I don't want to overcomplicate this by overanalyzing all the layers of this all at once. And I know that, at least for me, that I really wasn't able to even slow my mind down enough to realize it. It was literally lost on me before I started practicing mindfulness that this is something that's basically, it's me reacting to something that's happened. And it may also be me reacting. I get triggered in some way and I'm, you know, replaying a tape, for, you know, so to speak, from something that happened years and years ago. It may even be to the point, and I'm willing to admit the fact that there have been times when there's a certain context in being around other people that's occurring. I may think someone's making fun of me. I may think someone's making light of me, and I immediately start to contract emotionally, and I put my defenses up, and my mind starts racing, and I start overthinking everything, and it may not even be happening. So I found myself very overwhelmed with these things, and I use this in a way to give myself excuses not to, you know, when I went through many years of chronic depression and isolating myself, I didn't want to be around new people. I didn't want to be around people that I couldn't control the situation because I was afraid that I would get made fun of or that I would say somehow someone would make light of me. And I used this as basically a cop-out. I used it as an excuse. And I woke up one day when I finally decided that I wanted to change my life many years ago and decided that I really did want to practice mindfulness and really take it seriously, really give myself over to the practice and really live what I refer to as a spiritual life. And I will say very clearly that it is not necessary for anyone to live a spiritual life in order to practice mindfulness. You know, someone does not have to give themselves over to a lot of rigorous practices other than practicing mindfulness. You don't have to give up all your possessions and join a monastery or go to an ashram and give all of your material possessions away and live an ascetic lifestyle. The beautiful part is we don't have to do that unless someone really wants to do that. Mindfulness in of itself is really just about, it's at, you know, really operating at a very top level. And it's really about just being more aware of what our minds are doing. What is it? Why are we thinking a certain way? What are we thinking? And it gives us the ability to really look at the content of what it is that we're thinking, the contents themselves, the thoughts themselves. How am I buying into this? How am I identifying with these thoughts as the person who's having them? And how can I begin to separate those thoughts from who I really think, you know, from who I really am, the truth of who I really am? And it's not until I can develop some headspace and begin to watch these thoughts as a witness, these various notions, it's not until I can begin to do that I can really start doing the work of really taking a look at the beliefs that I'm holding on to, the expectations I have for other people and for things to happen to in my life a certain way. So this is really about breaking all this apart. And I realize I'm kind of taking a very, you know, 50,000 foot, you know, above type of view and really looking at the big picture here. But what I found is that this was, you know, in terms of being concerned about people's opinion of me, was and has been something that has been something I have struggled with, and it's work that I've had to do. But I wasn't able to do any of the deeper healing work until I could finally get, and I don't want to say get control of my mind. I started to say that, but that's not really what this is about. What I really wanted to be, I really couldn't do this deeper work until I could begin to realize that I am not my thoughts, that my feelings really aren't facts. They are just physiological reactions to what is going on around me. And if I choose to, I can let those emotions and those feelings, so to speak, you know, control my thoughts. And then I can have really no objectivity whatsoever. I'm completely subjective. I'm operating from the paradigm of, you know, it's I am this person who's thinking this thought. This is what I think. So therefore, this is who I am. And it's going to color all of my interactions with other people because I'm so wrapped up in who I think I am. And if I think I know who I am, then I'm going to react to things a certain way. Anything that challenges my notion of who I think I am and my integrity, that integrity within myself, that's really just a delusion at the end of the day. I mean, it's this whole idea of me having this notion of being this solid thing that doesn't ever change, that doesn't ever evolve, and believing that I'm this unchanging entity, it does cause a tremendous amount of suffering. And it wasn't until I had to sit on the cushion a long time, you know, many months and years. And what I'm saying here is this is available to any of us. I'm not saying that we have to do this for months and years to begin to see a difference in the way that we react to our own thoughts. And it certainly doesn't take, you know, weeks, months, and years to begin to see a change in our being, how we are with other people, how we are with ourselves. It's very incremental. And I found that really that's been the best way for me because I can't integrate any of these changes in the way that I'm relating to myself first and then to others if I'm overwhelmed with a lot of change very quickly. And it's been very, very gradual, and it's been wonderful to look back and see that while I have made these changes, and not really so much made the changes, is that I have gotten out of my own way and let myself be the change that I want to see. And I've got a long way to go. I'm by no means there yet, and I feel very compelled to say that. It is a work in progress. In fact, you know, I would say the fact that I can admit that I actually reacted the way that I did here just very recently, it points to the fact that I've got work to do. But I don't want to use that as a way to judge myself or to beat myself up emotionally or to think less of myself and to really get down on myself. What I really want to do is use that to propel me to have a continue to have a desire to try to release myself from unnecessary suffering, and also to release those around me, because I admit it, I did pull back from these guys who I've been very close with. And I mean, we have been through everything together, and the highs and the lows, and thinking, you know, at times we were going to lose everything business wise and I mean, we've been to hell and back, so to speak. And, you know, yet I'm going to react so strongly to something that really was not that big of a deal when I look at it objectively. But I can't look at it objectively until I can actually have a way to not believe everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. And for me, mindfulness practice has been that thing. And there's no real one way to practice. There's very different variations and different ways of approaching mindfulness. And it's really about figuring out for each person what it is that works best for them. Clearly, availing oneself of a teacher, someone that has experience, can be very, very helpful. But at the end of the day, everyone has their own row to hoe, so to speak. Everyone has their own unique individual experience. And I really believe that everyone is empowered enough to figure out what works for them. And it really is available to anyone that wants to do it. But what I have found is that once I could get to a place where I'm not believing everything I'm thinking about what I'm feeling emotionally, then I can finally start to see that I'm not really who I think that I am. That this idea of me as this person that is beyond ever being made fun of or ever being made light of is really ridiculous. Because I have been in mind states before where I have made fun of myself, and I have to remember that. There have been times when I've been able to see myself a certain way and start laughing and thinking about how ridiculous I seem, or how, you know, what it is that I'm saying, or that I, you know, and it usually what has to do with if I'm so sure of myself about something that I feel the need to tell other people about how sure I am of it. And it is, to me, it is funny. And I have been able, I have to remember that I've made fun of myself. I've made light of my own behavior, of certain things that I say with so much conviction that I know better than anyone else. And it's beautiful to be able to finally let go and not have to take my own identity so seriously that it's okay for me to look foolish. It's okay for me to act foolish. And it's okay for me, as well as other people, to, as long as it's done with love. And there again, it's not up to me. I'm not the arbiter of what's allowed and what's not. I just know for me, you know, that I want to kind of open this up a little bit and be more flexible and more open. So I really do. I've come to the conclusion for myself, this is, I can't make that decision for anyone else, that, you know, being able to make fun of myself a little bit and make light of myself and to be okay when other people do it is great. And it actually helps me not take myself so seriously and my own thoughts so seriously. And I would say that in a lot of ways, I didn't even realize that until this moment, that that's actually probably a part of my practice. You know, it's related to mindfulness. It's not actually mindfulness practice. I would refer to it as mindful coping practice, in that if I can really be aware of my own thoughts and realizing that I am, you know, that I'm taken so seriously, I can begin to let go of the need to cling to these beliefs about myself and these expectations that I should be above and beyond being made light of somehow, or my behavior being, you know, not called into question, but being examined in a humorous way. And I realize I'm just using different words to describe what is going on, but I think that's really the idea here, is it's about changing my own perspective. And that has really been what has happened when mindfulness practice has opened the door for me. And that's really what I have had to do to be able to cope. In other words, I now can go out in the world and not be afraid of it and not be afraid of other people, because And I didn't really realize this until I got way down the road, years into this practice of mindfulness and mindful coping, that I don't have to be afraid to go out in the world and be who I am. I can be the unique version of whoever I am supposed to be. And when I say supposed to, I don't really know how to know what I'm supposed to be. All I can do is be who I am in the moment. It's a very raw Zen approach. It's, you know, whoever I am in this moment may be very different from what I am in the next moment. But I can't really be that or let myself be that if I am so worried about what people are going to say to me or what they're going to think about me. And most importantly, I can't cope with that, those things, and I'm very, very daunted by those things unless I can cope with it myself. And the only way I've ever been able to do that is to practice mindfulness, to practice being aware of what I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. And be able to see that I can't stop these thoughts from coming up. Humans are wired this way. It's very, very difficult. And the more I try not to do it, I'm going to do it. I've been down that road enough. I've wasted enough time and energy trying to control my mind and trying to control my thoughts. And it just has not and does not work for me. So what I really want to do is have a way, something that powers my ability to take a really relaxed stance out in the world with other people, and to not have to try to make things be a certain way. And then what I found is, once I got to a place where I could actually be more mindful and sustain the practice, then I could really, when I was talking about those two layers, you know, the top layer of our human experience, what's happening right here, right now. Then there is this other deeper layer of how our bodily tissues store all of these memories, and that's where we find ourselves with all these various emotional triggers that we are dealing with. How can I deal with all that stuff? If I can't even deal with what's going on right now, how can I dig any deeper and begin to unpack that deep, dark stuff that's really down in there that is just the way that my body and my being has stored the memories of what's happened to me over the past 55 years? How can I start really working with that stuff? If I can't cope with the right here, right now, you know, what is happening in this moment, I certainly can't cope with digging deeply and unearthing things that need to be healed. And so thankfully, I can speak as someone who's experienced. And it's this there again, it doesn't take any special talents. We all can do this. It's just a matter of reorienting our focus and our perspective, and being able to have the courage to dig down deeply and begin to work with these triggers. And so over the years, I've had an opportunity to begin to unpack these things as far as things that happened in my childhood, and really getting, and I know I may never really necessarily find the reason, the most important reason, why I react so strongly to being made fun of or being made light of in a humorous way. I may never find the answer, but the beautiful thing is, I don't think I really need to have the answer. And I think that's what's so complicated about doing this deeper healing work, is that if I have this need to have these definitive answers, I may never find them. But what I do want to do is, as I do that deeper work, as I dig around in there and begin to look at why I react the way that I do, it's not so much a focus on the answers themselves as it is for how it changes me when I have the strength and empowered enough to take a deeper look at that. And the cool part is that there's no hurry. There's no timetable. There's no time frame. There's no test that we're going to take. There's no rewards for being, you know, 35% along that journey versus, you know, being 60% of the way there, because frankly, there is no way to measure it. There is no measuring stick. There's literally no way to know where we are on the journey. And I really believe I'm never going to know. And at some point I woke up one day and realized I don't need to know where I am on the healing journey. All I really want to do is to be able to be as in the moment today, right now, as I possibly can, and have enough presence of mind, enough willingness, enough energy, enough joy and peace. And I have a good friend who has actually said that to me as their mantra: joy, energy, and peace. I want to have enough of those things that I'm willing to actually do the work. And I want to thank her so much for sharing that with me. I want to be, and I know I can't have those things. I can't cultivate joy, energy, and peace in my life and within myself if I can't really have an objective relationship with my own mind and the way that I process things and the way that I think about things and react to things. And mindfulness practice has really been the foundation and the ongoing practice that happens day in and day out. And I'd love to say that I do it every moment of every day, but I'm human and I'm certainly not perfect. Even if I can do it more than 50% of the time, it's a win. I'm much better off. It's that much more of my life that I am in a much better place to be able to be more objective and to be way less subjective. And it's, I can honestly say at this moment that while I don't know that I can, at this point, not, you know, I'd love to get to a place where I don't react at all when people make fun of me or make light of me. I'd love to get to a place where I could just laugh with them and see the humor in what it is they're making light of. And it's getting easier. I'm not there yet. And the beautiful part about it is that's not something that I'm using. The fact that I'm not there is not something that I'm using as a way to get down on myself or to kind of, what's the word I'm trying to use here? There's a way of kind of like motivating ourselves by knowing that we're not there yet, whatever that is. I know there's a phrase for that. I don't want to use it that way. What I want to do is celebrate the fact that if I am 50% of the way, that 50% of the way there, that's 50% more of where I lived most of my life at zero. And that's the beautiful part about mindfulness practice is we are making, even if we don't realize it, even if we don't feel it, we are making incremental progress and we are affecting empowerment and evolution in ourselves and in the way that we do our work in the world and relate to other people every day. We do make progress. We may not always be able to see it, but we are. And I do want to encourage anyone that has taken up this practice to continue to practice. And that even if they can't see that they have changed some or evolved some, I want to continue to urge all those people to continue the practice as long as they want to, and that they are definitely making more progress than they realize. And I don't even have to know everyone to know it. I've been around enough people. I've talked to enough people. I've taught enough people. I have worked with enough people to know that it does make a difference and that that's enough for me. And so far, it's the only thing, the only tool in my toolbox that I know that really has been able to empower me to affect some positive change and to not take myself so seriously and to just really lighten my stance and to be able to be who I am doing my work in the world with other people and not being afraid, not having to shield myself from them and really opening myself up to whatever's happening with them in every moment. That's been the benefit of the practice.